Innovation Minds presents At the Edge, a podcast about using innovation to empower and drive engagement. The nature of work has changed. Companies around the world are struggling to find the right balance in the new work-from-home hybrid paradigm. As much of the workforce begins to go back to the office after more than a year working remotely, how can leaders keep their employees engaged and collaborating successfully? In this podcast, we interview thought leaders from business and hear their stories and viewpoints on how to use innovation to engage the workforce, as well as how to innovate engagement.
A lot of those companies, the people don't have to think. They go to a machine, they have to do certain things without being actually even asked to innovate. So it's very easy to lose the engagement or not to be really engaged. I'm a big believer that managers who design roles where people are able to make their own decisions, they feel heard, they feel that the people care about their opinions, these are the people who will be engaged the most.
For more than 20 years, Adriana Bogle-Herda has been recognized as an innovative, high-performing HR leader with expertise in innovation and employee experience. As Chief People Officer at Pega, Adriana leads the company's successful and extremely innovative efforts to attract, develop, and retain the best talent. Born in Brazil, Adriana is fluent in several languages and holds an MBA from the MIT Sloan School of Management, where she also currently lectures. Adriana, thank you for being here on At the Edge, and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Why is employee engagement becoming so important now?
Yeah, I think it was always important. I think it was just companies saw employee engagement differently than I think it's happening now. I think it's with COVID that really changed the way companies engage with employees. I think most companies, while hybrid work and work from home have always existed in some form or shape in the past, I think with COVID, it's totally changed the idea on what companies need to do to engage with their employees on an ongoing basis rather than just on an event-to-event basis. And in particularly when you do have hybrid workforces, when you have people in the offices and people online or on virtually engaging them to make sure that they are happy and doing the best work is very critical. And I don't think it's new either, but I think it is an especially issue now. I mean, the competition for talent, it's hotter than ever. And if you don't engage your employees, somebody else will.
Tell us how you should engage your employees. What are some of the techniques, some of the best ways to do that?
I see employee engagement in different levels. I think for the first, and also what I believe one of the most important ones is from a manager perspective, how a manager engage with each one of their employees. At the end of the day, there is that touch point with your direct reports is very important. So it could be a manager making sure that somebody who is at home has what they need, could be quick check-ins, could be also having more ongoing conversations about people's performance and development rather than waiting to be a once a year. That's one example. From a company perspective, I think people want to be working for companies that they are proud of. So making sure we know and our employees know what the company is doing from a corporate responsibility perspective to volunteering and how employees can participate to feel engaged and feel that they are part of a bigger purpose is very critical from an engagement standpoint as well. You ask for tools. So we have different things that I consider part of our engagement strategy. One of them being talent recognition. So we have a very, very used or very, I would say it, something that employees use quite a lot is a talent recognition platform where they can recognize their peers or their employees. And part of that recognition is that you can decide, the person receiving the recognition can decide which company they want to donate the money to. We do, as many companies as well, employee engagement surveys. and participate either on internal ones as well as external, like global best companies to work for or Boston top companies to work for. And that is really to understand where we are compared to our competitors. We do 1 year, we do an internal survey, and the other year we do one of those surveys that has a recognition or a talent certification attached to it.
When you look at the numbers, right, of employee engagement, it seems like we're in a bit of a crisis. Mm-hmm. Why are employees so disengaged or unengaged?
It is a difficult to get people to always be engaged. I think that's in general an issue. It's I think a lot of companies try to get the most of their employees and forget that people have a life behind. And I think that was one of the positives around COVID, that it was a lot more fluid with their work and life. And I think that to some extent also increased the engagement, even though now, because it has been for so long, the engagement is going down again, because it's just tougher for people to work in that in their way for such a long time. But I think employees need to feel that engagement coming from their employer, from their manager, from their peer. And that is not always that organizations are able to attack all those three different ones. Sometimes they have a great relationship with their managers, but they might not feel as connected to the company culture or not deal well as a peer. It is a difficult thing to get all the three columns right. And I think that is where you see the lack of engagement sometimes. But I also think it has to do that people sometimes look like for the green, the grass is not always greener on the other side. And I think sometimes people feel, okay, if I would move, I would get this or that. Sometimes true, but sometimes not true. But I think that plays also a role on the engagement side.
Yet the statistic from the Engagement Institute says that $550 billion a year is lost because of disengaged employees. Can you just talk about that figure and this incredible amount of lost potential?
Every single company suffers that, is to how to find the right balance of engagement on a long-term perspective. I think to engage employees on a short term, on a project, on something exciting is one thing. But when it comes to long-term, when people have been in companies for a longer period of time, it has to do with development, feeling that they can be part of something bigger, because they feel that they are developing and improving themselves is part of it. And also, even, I mean, if I think about lack of engagement, sometimes people resign internally, but they are still here. Either because they haven't found something else or because they gave up on trying, they want to do something else on the side. That is a lot of the numbers, I'm very sure. That is almost worse than, like, if you resign internally and stay, is worse than people resigning and leaving. If you have some employees engaged, but a lot of employees not engaged, there's a high chance that those engaged will become disengaged soon too, because they feel they are taking the harder, they are taking the like they have to take the lift off those who are not working as hard.
I have another statistic here. It says that 96% of employees believe that empathy is the key or a key to employee retention.
Yes, I couldn't agree more with that. And this is, I think, especially with COVID, became so critical. People are in different situations in their lives, in their careers, with their families. And I'm a true believer, if you give the trust and you show that empathy, if you will, so different ways to use the name, but that empathy, it comes so much back to their organization, because people are so thankful that you recognize that they needed. We actually, during the COVID, we gave all people managers we have, about 900 of them, empathy training So because we wanted to make sure that our managers were listening to the employees and getting this, like going to the employee where they were, which might be different than the situation of their manager. And we actually used in that training the metaphor about please put your oxygen masks first to the managers, because sometimes managers also have their own things. I mean, we all human beings, we all have difficult moments. And if they were so focused on themselves, they might not actually be able to focus on their employees as much. So that training was one of the favorite trainings for the managers. I think a lot of them got a lot of and heard things that they might not have heard before. Also understanding why it was so important to employees to have that connection with them in a different way. And sometimes it's just a matter of asking, how are you? And we even made a little joke and said, how are really, how are you? Like, because sometimes, especially I think in the US, people say, how are you a lot? Not always they're listening to the answer. And we were just like, just ask that question and ask really, so that people know you're actually interested in hearing the answer, whatever that answer might be.
And often the answer to how are you is, how are you?
Yes, exactly. And this is also like, it has to be go both ways, because I think if the managers are able to be vulnerable as well, when they are not doing so well, I think there is a lot of empathy from that employees as well. So it goes both ways. We were telling the employees that we wanted to be flexible. We wanted to support people. We understand people in different places. But then we start hearing that my manager, even though I have the opportunity to take this time off, my manager is telling me I can't. My manager is not understanding that I have small kids at home, that I have to work in the evening. So that is where the idea with the empathy training came. So we did all the training with about 3 months. I mean, we have about 900 managers. So we did the training. And then afterwards, the feedback was very positive that the employees felt that they weren't having those issues or those hiccups with their managers anymore. It's never going to solve everything, but at least the people got more aware of some of what they were saying and how it was coming across to their employees.
So the statistic I have here is also that while 92% of CEOs think their company is empathetic, only about half of employees agree. So how do you bridge this perception gap?
Yeah, that's my job 24/7, is to try to bridge that. And I don't think it will ever be the same number, even close, to be honest. I think employees often have a different idea of what many things are, even employee engagement or empathy, compared to the CEOs or the executive team. I think people are still in two different places. But I think it is important at least to communicate what organizations are doing. And that is part of my job and employee communications, to at least make sure people are aware. But what we cannot do is, like, at the end of the day, the employee needs to see and believe for themselves. And it is very important. As you know, perception is reality. And I think companies struggle with how to close that gap that you're describing.
The mystery that I've been trying to solve when I talk to people on this podcast is this Gallup survey that we've mentioned. You know, it was like 32% people engaged for years, and now it's gone up to like 34. But it seems like year in and year out, it's consistent, right? Almost like that number is somehow natural, like a third of the people in a company is all you're going to get. Like there's some kind of limit. Why does it just stay like that? Why is there no movement over the years and going worse or better? It just sort of seems like, is that a natural thing that two thirds of your people are just not going to care very much?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think different industries have different numbers, to be honest. I think in around the tech, it's around 60, but it's still not it's more than half, but it's still not a huge amount. I think we all will wish it was higher than that. When we did at Pega, we got around 80% the last survey we did. And we asked the question, I'm proud to work at Pega. And about 80% of the 80% of the people who answered the survey said strongly agree or agree, so which was a great number. But I do think there is still a disconnect with the reality of what companies, I mean, most companies are still, there is some struggles. Not every company can spend as much money on certain things like benefits and others. So there is good companies and there are companies who are not as good, but I think even good, well-intentioned companies, it's hard to meet all the expectations employees have. And not every, and I think the a pity is that not everybody loves what they do. And that is part of their engagement. So I tell even the people that work in my department, like, life is too short. If you're doing something you don't enjoy, really go look for something to find your happiness.
80% at Pega are engaged. What's your secret?
One aspect that I find it fascinating here is how we really care about the clients and how we want to make sure that our clients are happy and satisfied with our product and that we do go above and beyond. And I know that makes a huge impact on people's feeling about their jobs when they know the company will do the right thing for that client. We also try to communicate as much as we can and also be vulnerable that there are certain things we can't change as fast. And we try to implement additional flexibility, also more transparency that I think wasn't necessarily always the case in the past. And I think as much as you can treat people with care and be genuine and show that you really has that empathy, I don't think there's a secret sauce, but it is important that organizations understand that everybody's on here in a journey. And sometimes the journey is longer, sometimes the journey is shorter. And as long as you can make that journey as positive and as engaging as possible, I think you will have an overall better engagement.
You talk about that journey. Is there a way to design a journey for employees that would, you know, give them the maximum pleasure or enjoyment or feeling of success that would want make them want to stick around?
Yeah, I think there is. I think there is what I would call employee journey, where you look at every step of the way, knowing that there is different personas, if you will. Just because you're a new hire, it doesn't mean all new hires are the same. You have new hires who are going to work from home. You have new hires that are going to work from the office. And you have new hires who are 22 years old, who is their first job. You have new hires who have worked for 20 companies before. So I think and that's the same thing when an employee is here. You have an employee who has grandkids and you have employees who just had a baby. So I think is if companies are able to design experiences that are focused on the employee in that moment in their lives, that they will have a better experience. And we are going to try to understand what they are going through to be able to engage with them in the way they are, where they are in their journey, either at work or personally. I'll give you an example. I mean, we have introduced a much longer parental leave than we had it in the past. So now the first caregiver can take up to 5 months of time off. And we also offer a little package for babies. And this is just a little thing, but it is so cool to see in LinkedIn all the baby pictures with the Pega clothes. So this is part of us developing the journey of a new parent and what they are going through and what can we do to help that journey. And also because we want to engage them back. Who doesn't like to know that they have been cared for? So those are the things that we try to understand what everybody's going through in their different moments and design experiences that will meet that. I'm a big fan of actually talking to people who are going through those moments and learning from the employees. There are so many employees out there that would love to be part of something like this. I'm sure, I mean, once in a while we all hear what they wish they had it, but even sometimes the coming proactively and asking people, what would have helped you?
When we talk about innovation at the edge, what we're talking about is really the idea of making innovation a part of everybody's daily work, making them be heard, letting their ideas be heard. How can innovation help with engagement?
I actually think this is probably the secret sauce. When you think about those surveys, a lot of those companies, the people don't have to think. They come in, they go to a machine, they have to do certain things so without being actually even asked to innovate and to think much. So it's very easy not to, or to lose the engagement or not to be really engaged. I think you see higher engagement in tech companies or biotech companies because there is opportunities to people to use their innovation or be able to innovate. And I'm a big believer that managers who design roles where people are able to make their own decisions, even within their scope, which is part of that innovation within their roles, and able to, they feel heard, they feel they are being asked questions, that they people care about their opinions. These are the people who will be engaged the most.
How can we use technology to bring innovation to everybody in a way that will benefit both engagement and innovation and make the company better?
I don't think we all have found all the possible ways, but there are things like small, quick pulse surveys. There is employees at having like Box or other platforms that is an opportunity to ask questions and go and brainstorm ideas to find a solution to problems that the team is working through it. So it doesn't have to be just one person finding those answers. So I think using either organizational platform or Slack is a great example that you could have a problem there and many people reiterate and challenge each other and work on different solutions. This is how technology is there to improve. At the end of the day, we are all clients to certain perspective as well. And we also have our own experience. So I think if companies are able to take it into consideration, the employees' ideas, how they like to be treated in some of the cases, you will get the best on that employee. And at the end of the day, the client would be best served. I think when we give the opportunity for people to make certain decisions that they might not thought it was possible in the past, they are really able to go above and beyond. You'll get the most engaged people.
Oracle did a survey a couple of years ago with the future workplace in which 64% of workers said they trust AI more than their own manager.
Managers make sometimes, we also humans, and make wrong decisions. And I think people feel sometimes that if you take that judgment call out, you're able to trust better because that judgment sometimes can be negative. But it is, of course, the idea of AI is trying to take some of that human judgment that is always not as objective, take that away to make better decisions.
A different survey said that companies that are collaborating well are 5 times more productive and effective than companies that are not. What does that say about the future of, you know, the ability to engage employees in a way that they care about?
Maybe my kids or my grandkids will be on that situation, but I don't think I will see, and I don't think even I want to see a world where there is not the human touch as part of a job or any interaction. I think COVID, while it had some positives, clearly also showed that people need other people and they want that interaction. So I think if we are able to find a balance where AI can play their role, where maybe there is too much subjectivity into the decision, I think it would be a better situation. But I think a cooperation goes both ways. You can use AI to improve collaboration, also to show how groups collaborate with each other. But I think you just mentioned something very critical. I'm a big believer that companies that are able to work together internally in a better way are definitely more effective and more successful in the long run. I have no doubt that that's the case, but that is also about human interaction. This is not just about AI, it's also about trust. That's not something AI alone can bring. It's trust about that somebody else has your back. It's trust that is a one company that maybe even if that department may lose with that decision, at the end of the day, it's a better company decision. And that takes a lot of courage too.
We're going, you know, people are going back to the office now throughout the rest of this year, but it seems like nothing's the same as it was, and it's never going to be.
I would love to talk to you again in a year to see if all these prognostics that people are doing are actually going to take place. I'm a little bit skeptical that it will never be the same again. I think that's today my assumption as well. But I also has a little bit of part of me that think after some initial hiccups, people go back to the way they were doing their jobs before and feel more comfortable. I don't think we ever, ever going to have, for most jobs in companies like Pega or other biotechs or techs, I don't think we ever going to have a 5-day week in the office anymore. So that I don't think we're ever going to go be the same. But I think we're always going to have people who like to go to the office and they will tend to go to the office, and we'll have the people who maybe less that are more like to work more remote, then they will work more remote and they might benefit from that opportunity they might not have had it in the past. But I think is what is going to be critical, and I'll go back to the first point I made, is going to be the manager. How managers are able to now work with people who are half remote and half in the office. How do we make sure careers development still happen when people don't see each other every day? Because that is not something a company at a virtually higher level can define. Managers will make those experience. If you start seeing more people who are in the office being promoted, you start disengaging the people who are remote, who may be doing as much a good job as somebody who come in the office. So I think that is part of some of the fears, how managers are going to be able to learn and manage those meetings that are half and half, career development, performance issues.
Is engagement going to improve?
I think it will improve if companies are able to find the right balance on giving that flexibility and able to have managers more educated on how to manage their hybrid workforce. I think there is a high chance if that doesn't happen, they will have even less engagement on the long term. But I do think, to be honest, I think people have a lot of time to reflect how they want to live their lives. And a lot of them suffer quite a lot of losses. So you hear, and there was just an article on the Wall Street Journal about people quitting jobs if they didn't feel it was talking to them or their organizations weren't willing to give them as much flexibility. So I think for companies, will be harder to engage because people will feel they have other options. I would say the most important thing is that you have to remain open. You have to remain adaptable and be vulnerable to say, we made a mistake. We thought that was this with the information we had. And it turned out that this is not the right decision for our company. And we are going to pivot because I don't think anybody really knows how it's going to be in a year from now. So I think as long as you are genuine and you also open to say, we're going to try this, we don't know if it's going to work, I think employees will be engaged and will understand that we all new on this and we all trying to make it work. And that goes both for employees and employers.
Well, thank you, Adriana. Thank you for being here and for sharing your thoughts with us.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure.
This has been At the Edge, a podcast from Innovation Minds. We look forward to hosting you on our next episode, which you can find through the same channel you got here with today. Please join our LinkedIn group where you can discuss every episode. You can find the link in the show notes. We're really glad you were here, and thank you very much from Innovation Minds.